just clip it on your neckline somewhere. Yeah.
Doesn't need to be super close to your mouth because I do pick up.
Perfect. And let's see.
Never done a podcast before.
Oh, well, I'm honoured.
Thank you. I'm honoured that you said yes to being a part of this.
Oh my god, no, like...
I love your table because it's different. Did you see the picture I sent you?
Yeah.
Is it okay?
I actually feel quite emotional about it.
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't know, I think it's just something about these details don't really get, like, commemorated.
Mm.
And when you send the question, yeah, and you don't think of it being... necessarily important in the way, and like, you know, to give each table this space as you have done, like, it actually makes me feel quite emotional.
This is Lekka. I'm Lucy Dearlove. I'm in a gallery space converted from an old warehouse on the outskirts of Folkestone. Inside, Alice Hewitt has been setting up her exhibition at my mother's table.
I mean, how many tables do you have in this exhibition?
37.
37 tables. And how long have you been working on them?
This is actually 2 years worth of work.
Oh my God.
Because I did a smaller version of this exhibition last year.
Yes.
Which I think I sent you pictures of when I was sort of reaching out, which had 20 tables in it, 23 tables.
Okay.
And then I wanted to do it again. I wanted more stories. So I reached out to more people. And this is it fills two rooms, and I can't quite believe I managed to fill two rooms with tiny things.
37 tables sounds like it should fill even the most lofty of warehouse gallery spaces. But Alice is also a miniaturist, and her tables are tiny. Measuring at most 5 or 6 inches across and about 4 inches tall, they're mounted on the walls of the gallery and atop plinths in the middle. When you first enter the room, there's little detail to be seen and they don't dominate the space. But as you get closer to each table and your eyes adjust, each world expands in front of your eyes.
Everybody has a kitchen table, and because I had the first exhibition I could reach out to people and say,
sure,
I've done this, would you like to be a part of it? And so people responded to that, like Nigel Slater or Mira Soda. And came back and said, yeah, we'll be a part of it, which was such an honour.
That's amazing. I had no idea that it was the case.
Oh, really?
I think I just didn't register if you said that.
I'm not sure.
And then I saw it on the flyer and I was like, oh my God.
Well, you were one of the people. I made this massive spreadsheet of about 100 names of people in food that I wanted to reach out to, and you were one of those names.
Oh, that's so
I
lovely.
Probably didn't tell you that, because you were part of this mail out of people I'd like to be included with. So,
I knew of Alice's work already when she emailed me last year. Someone I know had seen her original exhibition in Margate. I hope this message finds you well, she said. My name is Alice, and I'm a miniaturist and sculptor based in Margate. I'm currently working on a project that delves into the formative culinary experiences of influential chefs and food writers like yourself. Flattery will get you everywhere. I'm creating this collection to be shown at Strange Cargo Gallery in Folkestone in 2025. The project, titled At My Mother's Table, aims to capture the essence of your childhood kitchen table, the food, the atmosphere, and the memories that have shaped your culinary journey. My goal is to create a series of miniature sculptures that bring these nostalgic moments to life, reflecting the intimate connection between food and memory. Attached to the email was a questionnaire, the answers to which Alice used to build and design each table. The questions were things like, where did you grow up? What was your kitchen table made from? How many chairs fit around it? What was typically on the table other than what was relevant to the meal, e.g. a fruit bowl, newspapers, post, etc.? What did your crockery look like? Shape, colour, pattern, etc.? Do you have any stories or memories involving your family table that don't necessarily involve food? I took longer than I would like to admit to reply to this email. I think Alice had to chase me 2 or 3 times. I was very honoured to have been asked, but felt a weight of responsibility to send good answers.
So this is Nigel's table. So you sent him the same questionnaire
yes.
that you sent me, that you sent everyone. This is amazing, because obviously, like, there's elements of, you know, he's written a memoir. Mm. There's elements of his, like, domestic life growing up there in public domain, but this is a whole different angle on it. Mm. There's, like, such an intimacy there. And I think that's why people have agreed to it, that it feels like this. It's such a unique idea.
Well, what you were saying about the memories of the table in the other room that a friend of mine did about his mother, and he said, there are no pictures of this.
Yeah,
I don't have any pictures of this. And it's the same with the sort of, you get sort of incidental pictures of the table when there's like a Christmas or a birthday or something, but actually the sort of everyday. And that's why I liked your table, because what I'm doing is trying to find people sort of, the way the questionnaire works is that people fill out, there's a lot of information that comes in, and then I have to try and find the story that I want to tell on the table itself, which is why I chose your, because even though you spoke about a lot of different food memories, I loved that idea of this tiny little miniature tray that was all yours,
with
the mince, with no onions in it.
Because that's what I was thinking, because when I filled out the questionnaire and it really did make me think about it. And I remember when I first sat down with it, I was kind of frustrated because I was like, why do I not have clearer memories of this? And I think it's almost the same thing as the photos that you're like, oh, I don't really have clear memories of this because I just didn't think about it as being this thing that was significant at the time or even afterwards. But it was really nice to give it that time and space to remember. And
that's really lovely. Thank you.
Okay, so we've got Nigel's table. So he talks about an aga, of course. Oh, it's just so beautifully written as well. A huge kitchen table, the colour of honey.
In the gallery next to each table, there was a piece of white card with text mounted onto the wall. A short excerpt from the questionnaire answers. People in their own words describing the significance of the scene. Before my mother died, begins Nigel, the kitchen was a good place, happy, warm, and safe.
He actually wrote that response separately to the questionnaire, which I think he wanted this to be the label, because a lot of the other labels I've pulled just from the questionnaire and put together, but he actually just wrote that as a separate.
Did he do the questionnaire as well?
Yes.
Wow.
Which, again, I was almost fell out of my seat when I got that email.
It must have been unreal. I mean, Mira Soda as well. I love Mira so much. And, to have that insight.
She was so wonderful. And she sent me photos a couple of days before I'd finished the project. I was at the point of putting the tablecloth on. And she sent me the photo and I had to extrapolate the pattern of the tablecloth in order to get it like perfect, because my brain couldn't use the tablecloth I had been using. I was like, no, she sent it to me now, I've got to do it.
That's so funny.
Which was a fun challenge.
Yeah. It's almost easier if you don't have a picture, right? Especially if the picture doesn't come at the same time.
Yes. It's easier and it's more difficult at the same time, because with working this time with people like Mira Soda or Ken Holm, who's in the other room, or Sami Tamimi, their food exists out in books and on YouTube, so I could actually see the dishes being made and think, okay, well, this is what this is supposed to look like. There's Ken Holm has a video on YouTube of him making the steamed cod that his mum used to make, and he says in the video, this is how my mum used to do it. So I was there sort of trying to like piece it together as he's doing the video, like trying to chuck on spring onions and things. So that was really nice to be able to see the dishes themselves rather than guess. It probably looked something like this, which is
a
lot of the way they work.
Do you have any favourites in terms of the story or in terms of how it turned out with, you know, how you made it? Because you're obviously making all of these tiny, intricate details, like tiny plates, and it's you're assembling this.
I made every element apart from the cutlery.
Wow.
So everything else is made by hand.
Are the plates ceramic?
Plates are ceramic.
That's unbelievable.
And the glasses are resin and everything is wood and polymer clay I did with the food. So I love them all for different reasons.
Okay.
Sorry, that's a bit of a cop-out.
No. I understand that it's like asking your favourite child.
But I love this. People have the sort of three levels of responses to the questionnaire. And one of them is, I can't do this. I can't go back there. This is not a safe space for me mentally. Sure, I don't want to be a part of it, which is a completely fair response. And I don't want anyone to put themselves in a bad headspace.
Yeah.
And then there were people who tried to go back and couldn't. And I was getting a lot of answers like, what was your table made from? Wood? What color was it? Wood colored. You know, it was, and sort of not giving me enough to work with from the responses. Mm. And then there were people like yourself who just gave so much detail and story, and it was beautiful. And this was one of my favorites. You kind of, she came back and she said, I didn't have a kitchen table that we ate at, but I remember my mom playing Warhammer, and so I was like, I can do that. I'll try that. And it was a nice way of telling a story that wasn't food, but was also about people coming together at a table.
Yeah, I love that, because I think there could be a tendency of people to, like, I think even in your head you almost like idealize a situation, and you're like, oh yeah, it's this, you know, lovely space where everyone gets together every week and like, or every day or whatever. And it's like, actually in reality, like a lot of people's dining tables, I mean, I never eat at my table at home, you know, I dump a load of stuff on there and I eat on the sofa. So it's really nice to see like realistic depictions of it, and that being, I mean, this is amazing. Like, you've got the ashtray and a little tape measure and some dice and then the Warhammer figures. Like, that's incredible.
Making miniatures is interesting. But then you've got some, like, this table is I like the tables that look like they're like halfway through a day.
Yeah.
But then you've also got tables like Sami Tamimi's table, which are feast tables. And like,
so beautiful.
You want to sort of put as much on as possible and look like you've got people coming around.
Yeah.
And it's like Eid or something, I don't know. But So I enjoyed that for that reason.
Yeah.
And this was great because I got to paint ceramics that I wrote in, and then I covered them with food and you can't see the patterns at all. And each one took like an hour or an hour and a half.
Oh my God, you can see just these tiny plates. I mean, they're what, like the size of a 2p piece, and that's made of ceramic. And then are these fired?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's incredible.
So I painted some just to sell as like extra plates, just so that I had.
So you can see
just
them.
So you can see them. Yeah. This is Anna Massing, who I think you did a podcast that I remember listening to.
Yes.
And
this is her mum's.
She sent me a photo with the questionnaire, which was amazing because then I just worked straight off the photo. And she had this amazing Stirling board table that was standard down, so I spent 2 hours painting Stirlingford. Oh, it was sort of a really nice meditative afternoon.
That's so beautiful.
And then this is Felicity Cloak, who had this amazing story about her and her brother like fighting for the chicken Kiev that wasn't depressed in the oven.
I like, this is a good table as well, Felicity, because you've got like the paper on it and the dish on the table. That's really nice. And then the orange squash. I also like that it's very chic, like you're not dropping a name, it's first names only. So we have Felicity, we have Mira, we have Sammy, we have Nigel.
Yeah.
But I like that because it's not, it's interesting because all of the stories are interesting.
Exactly, and you don't know who's who. I mean, this is a table I sat at. This is my French pen friend that I have known since I was 11. And I sat at this table and ate food with her family. So it was really nice to sort of
and this be is able the one to with recreate the, it. The Dear Wellington.
Oh, yeah. This is, I did a quiche.
That was a quiche.
Yeah.
Are there any other tables in the exhibition that you have a personal connection to?
Yeah, do you want to see?
Yeah. Oh my God, the whole other room.
The whole other room. And I was able to work with a photographer, and she's done some amazing prints, which was just sort of.
That looks so
up.
Incredible because they look life size.
That's why we've added lighter in with this one, just so you can see the scale.
Yeah. But that's so interesting, isn't it? Like seeing miniatures out of context.
This is my mother's mother's table.
Okay.
So my grandmother on my mother's side. And then these four are my dad's mother's table.
Oh.
And this is actually, we have this kitchen table in our kitchen now.
Oh.
And so I asked him, his two sisters and his brother, and I sent them all the same questionnaire, and they all came back with different memories. And I just love that as like a four.
That it's the same table.
It's the same table, it's the same stories. Woman, and they are all pulling out different memories.
So what have we got? So this is Giles. Oh, the mango.
My grandfather was a locust hunter.
Okay.
So they grew up, they spent a lot of time living in India.
Okay.
And then came back, I think when Giles was a baby, but they had he had a friend called Tony. My grandfather had a friend called Tony Mango, who used to come and give them a crate of mangoes every year.
Okay, sure.
From the...
That's incredible. Oh my God. So wait, Giles is your uncle?
My uncle,
your uncle. Wow. Okay, so we've got the mangoes.
Yes.
And then we've got Richard.
That's my dad.
Okay, so this is your dad.
Yes. And he remembered the blackouts in the 70s, and they would all get around the table and play pontoon.
Okay, so we've got the cards, the matches for like tokens, like poker chips.
Yeah, which is another part. It's the only, that one and the Warhammer table are the only ones without food on the table.
Mm.
And I really like them for that. Like, I think they tell such an interesting story.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that.
And then, yeah.
And then Kate.
So Kate and Caroline are my aunts. And they talked about coming home to, they would request cauliflower cheese. And my aunt remembered ratatouille and baked potatoes. But Giles, for years, would only eat tinned ravioli.
So you've just got the single thing. Oh, and that's the same. Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah, my brother Giles, at times, he would only eat tinned ravioli. And then, on this one as well. That's great. That's a really fun detail.
That was a nice little sort of family inside joke that made it into the exhibition.
Yeah.
That is also mentioned, which is good.
So this is Ken's.
Yes.
Oh, so this is the steamed cod.
Yes. And rice and this big jar of mustard greens. And he was so sweet. He sent me like a chapter of his book as well to work off with just incredible stories of growing up in Chinatown in Chicago.
Oh, wow. It must feel quite overwhelming to, you know, because you're saying like a lot of people, myself included, sent you a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where do you begin with it?
Because some of the questions are very detailed about the actual table themselves. And so I split it up into, I'm working on all the tables and then I'm going to do all the crockery. And then, and then it's all the glasses and then I'll do the food last. So by the time I get there, and I've also then, I make a big spreadsheet of what dishes I need to look up and
everything.
So I try and do it that way. Otherwise, if I try and do one from start to finish on its own, it would get very overwhelming, I think.
Yeah, it's almost like a production line.
Yes.
Kind of approach.
It's overwhelming, but it's also such an honour because people are trusting you with their memories and you're trying to bring their memories to life as much as possible.
Does it feel like a lot of pressure to get it? Because I guess there isn't, like, objectively, there's not a way of getting it right. Because you're always going to be a person who wasn't present, I guess, unless it's in the case of your family. Like, you can never know exactly what it looked like unless you have a photo, really. So it doesn't really matter in lots of ways. But do you feel pressure for it to be?
Very much so, because I'm quite an anxious person anyway. So, but the way I deal with it is I send them a photo at the end and saying, tell me what's wrong. If there's anything that's making you uncomfortable or you want changed or there's anything glaring that's missing that you know of, let me know. And they're, you know, they're from all over the world.
Yeah.
They're all different ages, all different races and cultures. And everyone comes together around a table.
Yeah.
So trying to put it together and get it right, I take quite a lot of responsibility on with that.
And you've become the keeper. I think I said this to you in an email, but you've really become a keeper of all these stories.
Why don't I? It's just...
Or is this your way of like releasing them back?
Sort of like bringing them back and showing them off. This was another favourite because this is a friend of my aunt's, Beverly, and she grew up here. She was born in 1951 and she grew up in a block of flats where they had a kitchen between the blocks of flats. All shared one kitchen. And she talked about her mum making something that they called haddock's ear hole, which was actually salmon mornay. And her mum would insist that it was very French to sprinkle sugar on lettuces and roll it up like a crepe.
Incredible. Yeah.
And it was just, I think her story really makes it.
Yeah.
I think if I just had the tables out on their own, it's not as impactful.
I think I like as well, there's all these extra details. So you obviously have, details that refer to things on the table, but there's all this context. And mm-hmm. I think that really shows about when you ask people about what they eat and where they eat, mm-hmm. there's all this other stuff that comes in because it's at the center of their life. So this is where she gets the jelly deals. And, this is where she hangs up her washing line. And
a lot of the memories, Anna Malfing's table, mm. a lot of the memories she was coming back with weren't actually relating to the table itself. Mm. She was talking about where she would eat in restaurants and going out to eat. And, the memories of food aren't necessarily connected with the kitchen table.
I think I can definitely relate to that because of the complication around the table for me.
Yeah. Well, yours was quite similar in the same way.
Yeah.
And this is the only man in the exhibition. It's called my mother's table. So everybody's giving me memories of what their mother used to make. But my friend was like, my mum didn't really cook. It was my dad. Mm. So this is Dave's table.
Oh, and you've got the tin on the table as well.
The Moomins. Because I think, if I think of my kitchen table, it's always got stuff on it. It's got homework and
so have you ever made your own?
No, people keep asking me this and honestly I forget. I get so caught up in everybody else's stories and I get to the end of it and think, I forgot to make mine again. Which wow. I really need to do.
Yeah. That's interesting though. I feel like you should explore that.
Yeah. You should.
Because I think for a lot of people, that might have been where they'd started. It often begins with the personal and then opens out. So it's kind of interesting that you've started, which I kind of relate to, actually, because I've always thought, I've always been interested in talking to other people about their relationship with food and mm-hmm. home. And it's only through that I've really thought about it myself. So I get it.
I just get so, I feel like I'm running out of time all the time when I make to try and get it all done before the exhibition. And then I get to the end and I'm like, oh, yeah, me.
It's too late.
Yeah.
Because you can't rush it, can you?
So when did
you start making miniatures?
As a child, I had a doll's house that I loved that was my great-grandfather made for my grandmother. And then it sort of got shuffled between her family and her sister's family. And when that doll's house went to my cousin, I then got, I got a bigger doll's house, started making more things, and I just never really stopped. It was always a thing I did for myself. Mm. And then I started making tiny food earrings a few years ago and selling them. A friend of mine said she sort of happened to just say, I like tiny food earrings. And I said, well, have I got a niche product for you? And made her some, and she loved them and put them in her shop. And then they just sold, and it snowballed, and I sold more and more. And then I started making art pieces because I like storytelling.
Mm.
And I think food is a really interesting way to tell stories.
I have been really fascinated. There's definitely been a little wave in the last couple of years, especially of jewellery and clothes that express things that you like to eat, and I find it so interesting.
Yeah, we spend so much time making food look beautiful.
Yeah,
and then we eat it, and it's gone.
Yeah,
and I like that impermanence of it, but I also want to try and capture it as well.
Obviously, now we sort of exist in a culture where we do take photos of our food, mm-hmm. but maybe not the extraneous details, and maybe we're not remembering the stories as much. So it's kind of an interesting contrast of. Yeah, the fact that I didn't, and you said this was common with other people as well, that they didn't have a photo of the table they grew up with. Mm-hmm. And now perhaps a generation will have that.
Yeah.
But will they remember the connection, or will it have been set up for the picture? And what does that mean in contrast? Yeah, I don't know.
That's a good thought.
Yeah. Don't know what it means, but it's a good start. Have you made other sorts of like miniature artworks, or has food always been the focus?
Yeah, it tends to be the focus. The mm-hmm. first tables I made were for a piece called Beginning, Middle, End, where I made mm-hmm. three kitchen tables depicting the start, beginning, and end of a relationship.
Oh, that's great, yeah.
And that's what sparked sort of the idea for this off, because I was like, this is a fun way to tell stories.
Yeah.
Because what can you guess just from looking at the table about what's yeah. happening with these people? And then I did a piece all about Kentish food and what's grown here, because it's called The Garden of England. There's so much that comes from here. And then this project took over my life in the best way.
This isn't the end, right? I mean, this is the biggest exhibition you've done for it. But
yes.
Where next?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to...
Full-size table?
Oh, no, I can't do full-size.
That's fair. I feel like it wouldn't have the same power somehow.
I think it taps into that, because this is done on a dollhouse scale.
Right. Is that what, 1 to 12?
1 to 12.
Yeah.
Which I think your brain sort of instinctively recognizes as dollhouse scale. So when you see it, or you think, oh, games, fun, toy, and then that brings you back to childhood as well as the food that's on it. This was a really fun one to do. This is a Bangladeshi table, and it's set for Eid.
Pavilion table. Oh, wow. Yeah. It's, yeah, so much. We've got the chicken and the salad.
Little bowl of dates.
Oh, the bowl of dates. And soup. Like, everyone, is that a soup or is that a salad?
It's a Thai, it's a sort of rice dish,
Oh,
I think.
Rice dish, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chicken, beef, and variety of... Were there any foods, specific foods, on any of the plates that were a real nightmare to make?
The pomegranate seeds in Sami Tanumi's table.
Oh, wow. Okay. Like individual.
Individual pomegranate seeds had to be made. And there's a table next door that has hazelnuts.
Yeah.
And I made the hazelnuts. And actually, this table drove me crazy because I had to make each bit of fusilli by hand.
Oh, my God.
And that took hours.
Yeah. But it, like... That really, you know, I'd never think about that. And that is something that, I mean, obviously, the fusilli you buy in a packet is, like, factory made. Mm-hmm. But it does make you think about, you know, the detail of each individual thing that we eat and how we should appreciate that, even if you're not making tiny. I mean, that they're, like, what, the size of, like, I don't even know, like, half a grain of rice. They're so small.
You know, it's a bit like therapy. I just go and sit in my studio and make pasta for 2 hours.
Make like 1,000 tiny. Because it's kind of amazing. I mean, this table here, that's really accomplished carpentry. You've got the beautiful sort of carved, like carved legs and shaped. And I mean, I don't know any of the technical terms for this, like turned.
Yeah,
that sounds about right. And that, so you've had to learn all of these... like very specific skills and ceramics as well. So
yes.
Like, you know, it's not something you can just do overnight, but then to apply it on this tiny scale.
It's a lot of processes for each table. There's working with wood, working with ceramics, working with the polymer clay, working with the resin, painting, because a lot of it doesn't look right until I put like acrylic on it or picked out details like the chips in that one particularly.
And is that a battered sausage?
Yeah.
There's conversations nowadays about whether people are even eating at a table and kind of, but so it's actually really nice to see like the table being celebrated. Give the table its dues, you know. I have to say eating a table is a bit of a special occasion thing for me now, but that is definitely on me.
It's a place where people gather, I think. And that's something to be celebrated.
Yeah, definitely. If you could sort of look at them infinite times and you'd see something new as well. Oh, the revision on the table on this one. I like that.
This is Claire Thompson's table. And I love that, you know, she's such an incredible chef and she just sort of came back with omelettes on a school night.
Which actually kind of fits with her sort of approach to cooking, isn't it? You know, getting food on the table and making sure everyone's well fed and healthy. And
I also got to make a tiny bottle of Tabasco, which just brought me so much joy.
Oh, look at it. That is perfect.
And this was a fun one because she talked about her brother at one point fell forward and landed and his tooth got embedded in the table.
Oh my
gosh. So when she told me this, I was like, well, I have to do that now. And so I had to figure out like a glass of water spilling over and how to make a tiny tooth and like where would the plate conceivably go and all of those details, which was a lot of fun.
There's so much story. See, it's kind of a table perfectly set and all the plates in place, except for this one plate that has been violently dislodged. And then, there's a tooth and a little bit of blood. And then, you've even lacquered the table. So you've got the water spills and the shine of it. And that's amazing. But I feel like that it would be interesting seeing that without the story. I don't know. Yeah. Like, what would you read into that?
Yeah. So it invites questions.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope it was his baby teeth.
Yeah, so too. She's coming tonight, actually. I'll ask her.
Yeah.
This one was a lot of fun to do. This is Ainsley Harriet's table. And I got to make a red snapper, which was a fun challenge. And a pineapple. The way a lot of polymer clay food works is, have you ever seen people making rock, the sweets?
You pull out the long strands and then like...
And you make it into this big thing and then you roll it down. A lot of those techniques apply to polymer clay. It's how I made the tomatoes. And with the pineapple, I rolled it right down and then each individual one of those I slice up and then put onto the pineapple to give it that look and texture.
So it's got like the scales almost. Yeah. They have the air on the outside. That's, wow, it's just you... I think there's almost, because you were saying about you register it immediately as Joel's house food. And I think through that, you almost don't register the incredible detail because it looks so much like the food. It's like, how have you made it look so much like a tomato? It's,
That's why on the poster, I have to have my hand in the poster. Otherwise, it just doesn't... My photographer and I were like, this is...
How can we make it look like I've actually put a lot of work into these? it must have been quite a feeling to get responses from the people that, like Nigel Sater and the fact that, they obviously, as I can understand like why, because I felt the same, but like to respond to this is such a, I'm really, obviously they would say yes, but also like, people are busy and
etc.
Really?
Yeah. Most people said no that I reached out to. A lot of people I didn't hear back from because also trying to make sure I'm emailing the right people is quite
so
difficult in itself. But, people are busy. It's a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is entirely fair. But the people who did come back really went for it. And that was such a privilege and an honour.
In answer to the question, what was your kitchen table made from? I wrote, the house we moved into when I was 3, so the only childhood home I remember, didn't have a kitchen table. It was a modern house built in the late 70s, early 80s, and had a separate small kitchen with a dining room next door. The kitchen didn't have room for a table, so we eat either in the dining room or at a table that my parents put in the living room a bit later on, which was by the window in the back garden. Or we ate breakfast sitting on high stools next to the kitchen counter. It was just normal cupboards, so you had to sit sideways. When I was really small, I remember my mum sitting me at a tiny table and chair in the kitchen so she could feed me there, while also cooking her and my dad's main meal. What food do you associate most with your childhood? Lots of mince-based dishes. I first learned to cook with mince, spaghetti bolognese, chili con carne, and what we called mince and carrots, which was just mince cooked in gravy with carrots and onions, which we ate either on jacket potatoes or on toast. Did everyone eat the same thing? Yes, my mum would usually just adapt what she was making for everyone to accommodate any preferences I had. I didn't like eating small bits of onion or pepper as a child, but liked the flavour. So when she made things with onion in, like bolognese or chili con carne or mince and carrots, she would just halve an onion and fry like that so it remained in big bits, and then she or my dad would eat those so I didn't have to have it on my plate. She never made a big deal out of this or said I was fussy, and now I eat pretty much anything that I didn't like that much as a kid. Also hated butter and mayonnaise in sandwiches and raisins in any kind of baked goods. The table Alice made based on my answers is different from the other tables in the exhibition. It's child-sized, like the one I described in my answer. There's a little jigsaw puzzle on there with a picture of an elephant and a plate of spaghetti bolognese, no onion, with a glass of squash. Seeing it for the first time, I felt incredibly seen, but also somehow strangely exposed. I'm not quite sure why.
Yeah, I feel emotional, like, seeing the stories that I sent you on the wall. Like, I think my mum's going to come later.
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so lovely.
So I think she's probably going to cry.
That's good, because I was worried about yours, because, again, a tray is sort of...
It's really difficult.
It's hard to sort of get right, and I was...
But to be honest, I can't really remember what it looked like. So I was like, yeah, great.
Well, I like the idea that you had toys on it as well, and you had juice and just, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I would just be sitting on this. I remember the chair weirdly more clearly than the table, but the table was just this like janky old thing. I don't even know where it came from. And it sort of wasn't really about the table itself. It was about the size of it, and which like that's kind of depicted.
And mints just sort of kept coming through your story. So I was like, well, I just wanted to sort of bring that.
Yeah, the mince was important.
And then I got to make lots of spaghetti strands, so that was fun.
Oh, yeah. But I kind of love the simplicity of it. And also, like, because I'm an only child, that is sort of like, it might feel a bit unfamily-like to just have, like, one plate on a little table. But that was the reality. Like, my parents would eat separately, and I would often eat, you know, it wasn't on my own, mm-hmm. but it was the only meal on the table like that other person's. So yeah. It's like it was a meal for one, a table for one. And so, yeah, I like that.
Do you want to see a secret about this table that nobody else is going to see?
Please.
It's the lazy Susan.
it's a functioning, tiny, lazy Susan.
It spins. I spent so long trying to figure out how to make it spin. And nobody's going to know because you can't touch it.
Yeah, yeah. That's amazing. Oh, my God. Did you tell the person whose table it
yes.
is? Yes. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Remy's she's a food blogger and writer, and she's a YouTuber as well, and I reached out to her. She lives in America, and I just said I was doing this, and she did this for the first lot of tables I did. She was one of the first tables that I did, and her family's from all over the world, and she grew up all over the world, so it was a really interesting story. And the idea of a table with the Lazy Susan in it is so iconic, and I just thought, I can't have it not spin.
I mean, how did you even do it?
It's a really tiny ball bearing from, I think it was originally from a NutriBullet.
Wow. Oh, my God. I love that. I feel privileged to have witnessed it.
There you go.
Maybe you should do a demonstration just in the like, middle of the of
every
the
PV, yeah.
So if you did make your own,
yes.
What would it be? What would your table look like?
Probably be, there'd be a big fruit bowl on the end of the table, full of fruit, but also, you know, bits of post and newspapers under it. And my mum would make us this amazing, like, vegetable lasagna. Mm. I didn't know lasagna was supposed to have meat in it until I went to university. And I was like, oh, this isn't what I was expecting.
Was your family vegetarian?
No.
Oh, okay.
She was just a good way of getting vegetables into it. And she would... Then, you know, all kids do the kind of, I don't want to eat it. I don't like vegetables.
Yeah.
I don't like courgettes. And so she'd make this big vegetarian lasagna, would wolf it down. And then she'd sit with us in the bath and say, right, you say you don't like these vegetables. Here's every single vegetable that was in your dinner tonight that you ate. So I don't want to hear any more about anything you don't like.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would have been my memory, I think.
Lasagna. Yeah. But like, because it's immediately, you know, you were talking about the table and you immediately talked about the bath, and it's like you were saying, like,
it goes yeah, on. It's so yeah. You know, it's a...
The story immediately breaches the kitchen table.
I hope it sparks memories and people start thinking about the food they ate as children and what the table meant in their household. Because it is such a, you know, the first thing that I do when I come home is come in and dump my stuff on the table. You know, my daughter's got her school stuff out there. It's making dinner and trying to get everything done. And food is a really integral part of our family life. And actually, something that I've noticed across cultures that have responded, because we've got cultures from all over the world in this exhibition, so everybody says food is so important to my culture. Because it is, and it tells so much of a story about who you are and how you grew up and where you come from and where you are now.
Yeah.
And I find that fascinating.
Lekker is hosted and produced by me, Lucy Dearlove. Thank you so much to Alice Hewitt for immortalising my childhood kitchen table and also for agreeing to talk to me for this episode. There aren't currently any plans to exhibit the tables again, though Alice has an open studio in Margate on 23rd to the 25th of January at Quench Studios if you're in the area and would like to see some of her work. You can find her on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Alice Makes a Thing. She shares process videos as well as finished work, which are equally mind-blowing. There's also a lo-fi visualised version of this episode on YouTube where the audio is synced to photos of the tables that Alice describes in the episode, shot by Carly J. Smith. The music is by Blue Dot Sessions. This is an independent podcast which is generously supported by listeners. If you enjoy what you hear and you're in a position to do so, you can sign up as a paid subscriber to support Lekker on Substack, Patreon and Apple Podcasts. Links are in the show notes. Thanks to any paid subscribers listening here, your support is always appreciated. And if you haven't left Lekker a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever platform you listen on that allows comments and reviews, please do. It makes a real difference. I've just realised on Spotify you can now actually comment on episodes, because I received a couple of comments from people who'd listened and it really made my day. I really enjoyed that feature. So please do comment. Thanks very much for listening, as always. I'll be back very soon.